Back to Lurie on Liberty on 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk.
Welcome to the Lurie on Liberty show with your guest host, Hal Schertliff, and your guest co-host, Tom Moore, who stepped out for a second. And by the way, to learn more about Camp Constitution, you can visit our website, campconstitution.net. Our next year's family camp is coming up July 28th to August 3rd. But this coming December 1st, a Saturday, we're going to be having a breakfast meeting at the location of our camp at the Lakeside Christian Camp and Conference Center. We're going to have Reverend Stevie Kraft, who had been a guest on the show in the past, and a young lady by the name of Malina Chastian, who is with the Daughters of Liberty. And so it's a $10 breakfast, and we'd love to have you out there, get to see what our camp is about. And if you can go to our website, campconstitution.net, or our Facebook page, and you can make reservations. Or just go to my Facebook page, Hal Schertliff, and you can get information about it there. So on the line is Mr. Alex Newman. He's calling all the way from Malta. Not a malt shop, but Malta, the island. Alex is an author of several books, including Crimes of the Educators, which he co-authored with our late dear friend Samuel Blumenfeld. Highly recommend the book. He also is a writer for WorldNet Daily and The New American. Welcome, Alex.
Thank you so much for having me, Hal. It's a pleasure to be with you.
I appreciate it. Now, you are on the island of Malta. What are you doing on Malta?
That's a good question. We are on the road at the moment. We drove from the very far north of Sweden to as far as you could possibly go. We're just literally right off the coast of North Africa at the moment. And then we'll be heading back north pretty soon. We got to stop in Poland for the UN climate summit, the COP24, and then back to the far north, Christmas, and then hopefully back to America early next year.
Well, that's quite a schedule you keep. In fact, we just had Debbie Baczak-Lupi on, and she's going to be at that conference in Poland. So I'm sure you'll be reporting, of course, your activities there as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yep, I'll be working closely with Debbie and some other good liberty-loving patriots will be in town, and hopefully we'll be able to ask some serious questions, which we know the fake media won't be able to do, and kind of shine the light on what's really going on at this conference for people in America, so you don't have to rely on the fake news and try to decipher things and read through the lines. So.
And if people want to learn more about what your work, where would they go? What you actually do several things. You work for The New American, newamerican.com. And don't you have a weekly blog or a weekly article on the Freedom Project, FPE, Freedom Project Education?
I do, yep. I keep it. It's called the Newman Report, and it's at freedomproject.com. And what we do there, generally once or twice a week, I'll put out a short article on something outrageous that's happening in education. So if you're curious, if you follow developments in education, and I recommend that you do, right, because I think education is the one subject that's do or die. We're going to lose every battle if we lose on the education front. So if you're interested in that topic, go to freedomproject.com and check out the Newman Report there, and you'll find once or twice every week an article there.
Now, there are two things I want to cover. There's so much to cover here in the short time we have you on, but your most recent story on the Freedom Project had to do with parents, I think it was California, that their child, with the help of the school, decided to become so-called transgendered and against the parents' wishes. Can you touch on that?
Yeah, well, you know, it was one of those incredible stories where you see the headline and you're like, that has got to be fake news. But unfortunately, you drill down into it, and that's what actually happened. You had a school in Minnesota.
Minnesota, yeah.
Took a 17-year-old child whom the parents said, do not give this child a sex change. And the school, you know, the child was not emancipated, so the child was still under his parents' control. And without the child's parents' permission, the school took this child to have a so-called sex change, where, you know, they basically, they're not to be too graphic,
mutilate,
but they removed
the body,
his genitals. Right, they mutilated his genitals and put him on all sorts of drugs, hormones, including very, very serious opiate narcotics, which, that's another serious infringement on the parents' rights there. And then now there's a lawsuit going on about it. The parents said, hey, wait a minute, you can't just, mutilate our child's genitals without our permission. And so the school said, oh, that was due to a worker error. We're sorry about that, but, we're not liable. So that's the situation there in Minnesota, and that's coming soon to a school near you. You know, they'll help the kids get abortions. They'll help the kids change gender, so-called, and this is education in America today.
And that's why we've long advocated, we at Camp Constitution, I know you, and you were a guest instructor a couple of years ago. Hopefully you'll be available next year and bring your whole family. It'll be kind of a reunion for some of you climate denier types, that because we'll have Lord Monckton there and Willie Soon and Debbie Bacigalupi, so you'll probably know half the people there as it is. You know, I just watched, there's a video out on YouTube. It's called The Atheist Delusion. And I can't remember the name of the pastor who does it. He's from Scotland, I believe. And he interviews some young people, 20-something, and he interviews a middle-aged guy, and then he interviews an older gentleman, all who claim to be atheists. And when he asked the question, when did you become an atheist, it's almost always when they got to school, to government schools. And one guy said, I started thinking for myself, oh, no, you really were. You kind of listened to that pretty biology teacher that you might have had a crush on that I did when I was in the eighth grade, that didn't say my parents were liars or that there is no God. They just promoted evolution, and then they lose their faith. So
that's exactly right.
So
and
I imagine
that's what Sam and I identify in Crimes of the Educators as one of the many crimes that the government school system is perpetrating against our children. They're force feeding them the lie that you know, they came from monkeys and slime, that there's no alternative explanation even conceivable, because that would be melding church and state, apparently. And you know, that has the effect of destroying children's belief in biblical religion. So they go home and they say, well, you know, I came from slime. What is the purpose of life? There is none. You know, human life has no more value than a goldfish. Maybe I'll shoot up the school. Maybe I'll hang myself in the closet. You know, the effects are just disastrous, and it's a blatant lie. You know, and to even pretend like there's no alternative explanation, it's so far beyond ludicrous. I mean, it is an official state religion, and unfortunately, it's being force-fed to children in every government school in America every day.
And so, you know, I discuss this often too. If I'm a Baptist and I start a school, you would hope that my school would reflect the values of the Baptist. Of course, I would consider conservative Bible-believing Baptists, not the ones that hang the rainbow flag. If I'm a Catholic, I would promote the values that the Catholic Church used to teach, in some cases still teaches, but used to teach more so than that. And my school would reflect that, et cetera, et cetera. If I'm a statist, if I'm a socialist, I'm an internationalist, my school is going to reflect that socialist, internationalist worldview. And that's what we see in the government schools all over the United States. And it's not just in the cities. It's not just in, let's say, a poor neighborhood in Boston or New Haven. It is in the wealthy schools as well. It's in every single school in the country.
That's right. They're all reading from the same script. You know, this was happening even before Common Core, but Obama kind of formalized the process where we now have essentially a national curriculum where the same garbage is being taught at the same time in government schools all across this country. And in fact, it's actually a global phenomenon. I know you're well aware of this, Hal, but you know, the UNESCO, they have what they call the World Core curriculum.
That's
the resemblance in name to the Common Core is definitely not coincidental. And that they want to force feed this garbage to children in every school all over the world. And now they're working to eradicate or bring under their control private schools, Christian schools, homeschoolers. So, you know, we're in a crisis situation. And, you know, Sam understood this very well. And I tell this to people all the time. If we lose the battle for the hearts and the minds of our children, which, you know, right now, like something like 87% of American kids are being indoctrinated in government schools. If we lose this battle, all those other issues that you care about, listener, you know, I don't care if you're, you know, into Second Amendment. I don't care if you're pro-life. You want lower taxes. You want the Constitution respected. You're going to lose on every one of those issues as long as they keep indoctrinating almost 90% of the kids. And you need to recognize that, because if we want to win these fights, and we do, right, I'm on your side on all these things, we got to recognize that we have to stop giving them our children to be brainwashed.
Amen, and I'd like to just...
This is Alex, this is Tom Moore. I think you might have met Tom.
I'm the one in the tricorn hat. I picked you up at the airport.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, Tom, how are you?
I just... The one thing about working at Camp Constitution, I love being the airport transport. You never know who's going to show up, and... 1 year it was Alex Newman, and I want to mention again your wonderful book, Crimes of the Educators, which you co-wrote with Sam Blumenfeld. I am so fortunate to have known Sam very well, and I have the only double-signed copy signed by both both authors. Sam has passed on to the Lord.
Oh, I got one, too.
Oh, you got them signed by both.
So okay, there's two left in the world.
Okay, there are two, yes. I don't think Alex has a double-signed one, but could you speak a little bit on what you learned from Sam and what it was like writing this wonderful book that everyone should get called Crimes of the Educators?
Oh, absolutely. I'd just be delighted to speak on that. And one of the most important, and I learned a lot from Sam. I mean, I learned so much from Sam working with him for a year on this incredible book. This is a man who spent 50 years of his life devoted to the subject of education. So obviously I was only able to get a fraction of all the knowledge he accumulated over all those years. But I think the single most important thing he taught me was this reading fiasco, right? And in fact, that's what motivated him to get into the education field to begin with. He read a book in the 1950s by Rudolf Flesch called Why Johnny Can't Read. And he realized that, hey, we have a literacy crisis in America that's unprecedented in human history. I mean, according to the government's own numbers, something like half of Americans are either illiterate or so close to being illiterate that we might as well lump them all together. And Sam figured out that this is being done deliberately, right? We didn't just suddenly wake up one day and squander $1 trillion a year on education and forget how to teach reading. This was a deliberately engineered phenomenon. So they basically took a method that had been pioneered in the 1840s by a reverend who was taking care of deaf children. And, you know, it's quite appropriate for deaf children because they can't hear the sounds of the letters. So it makes sense to teach them to memorize whole words.
That's actually just up the road here in Hartford, Connecticut, Pastor Gallaudet.
Where Reverend Gallaudet was.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And so, you know, Sam figured out that, you know, this quackery, it works fine if you're doing with deaf children because deaf children can't learn the sounds of the letters and how they blend together. But when you try to apply this to non-deaf children, what you get is illiteracy. You get the symptoms of what we call today dyslexia. You get massive systemic illiteracy all across the country. And that's exactly what we see because this has now been systematized under Common Core. You know, by the time they're in kindergarten, they have these poor kids memorizing whole words. So every kindergarten classroom in America has got a big list of words, and they send the kids home with the flashcards for their parents to drill them. This is absolutely disastrous. You know, I've used the material Sam put together, but there's plenty of other great curricula to teach reading using phonics. And so that was really the big takeaway. And then when you combine that with all the other discoveries that Sam made, you know, pulling the letters out from the archives and stuff, when you realize that the reason they wanted to dumb down the American population and make them illiterate was so that they could transform us from a Christian, individualist, constitutional, limited government, Western-style society with freedom into, you know, socialist, communist utopia, if you will, where everybody was just a cog in the machine, you realize how evil this was. And so I think from Sam, I learned that, you know, this is the battle we need to fight. And step one is making sure that our people can read, because right now we don't even have that down.
By the way, Camp Constitution, as you know, we inherited Sam's library, or most of his library, and his papers. And thanks to a couple of talented people in our circle, our webmaster, Eric Conover from Boston, and Mark Affleck, who's our camp newspaper editor, created the Sam Blumenfeld Archives. And if you go to our website and you'll see the drop down there, it's all free of charge. You can teach people how to read using Sam's alphaphonics and all of his newsletters. About maybe 2 weeks of worth of speeches there.
That's right. At campconstitution.net and then the drop menu.
So please take we have a caller on the line. Speaking of Sam's, we got Sam from Westerly. Sam, how are you doing?
Good afternoon, Radio Free New England.
That's right.
This is a humble Sam from Westerly. In the bottom of the last hour, you were talking about kings. And I've just recently been studying John Locke.
Mm-hmm.
A great influence on the founders.
That's correct.
Especially on Jefferson, yes.
Mm-hmm. And which is, he wrote two treatises on government. Let's see, have you heard of Sir Robert Filmer?
Have not. Locke said, the government which governs best governs least, correct?
I think there's in there somewhere, but yep. I'm trying to say that this Sir Robert Filmer had also written a book, Patriarcha or something or other, in which he talks about about monarchy and how it is derived from, or it comes down from Adam, the king supposedly are a direct lineage from mm-hmm. Adam, but John Locke goes through sentence by sentence of Filmer's book and shows how wrong he is. Say, under monarchy, everybody was born equal. In slavery.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
There you go.
Well, Alex spends a lot of time in Europe, so he knows a little bit about the monarchy and how harmful it has been historically.
Now all the monarchs are globalists, aren't they, Alex?
It's true. It's amazing how the European monarchs have been so willing to, over the years, surrender sovereignty, surrender, you know, their own countries to this globalist monstrosity called the European Union. And that's really one of the big things I'm focusing on while I'm over here, is keeping people up to date on what this monster is doing, because, of course, the EU is the model that they want to use to impose this kind of borderless, globalist, totalitarian, unelected rule on all of humanity, right? And they've said so openly many times. So I think it's really important. And it's, to me, it's a fascinating story how they were able to convince these monarchs and, you know, the parliaments of the countries in many cases to willingly surrender their sovereignty. Now, I don't think they've ever managed to convince the people. Every time they ask the people here, they overwhelmingly vote no, right? I was living in France when they voted heck no on the Constitution. The Dutch voted no. They always vote no. Brexit voted get us out of here. But somehow, the monarchs and the parliaments just...
Yeah, I mean, getting back to the caller, in the old days, at least the monarchs could... You know, they claim this divine right as a Christian right. Now they're not even defenders of the Christian faith. Europe's being overrun by Muslims and military-age Muslim males, and there's like a total rape crisis in a lot of these countries, like Sweden.
It came 500 years after Christ.
Now, who was it? Prince Philip, the husband of Queen Elizabeth, who said something to the effect that he hoped he comes back
as a virus.
As a virus, so we can wipe out the... I mean, that's...
What a charming guy.
Well, thanks for the call, Sam.
You're welcome. God bless you.
Oh, God bless you. So, Alex, you're focusing on the European Union, and also your most... I think it was a recent article on the New American website where you talk about the UN and its suppression of what the term they use, nationalists. Can you address that?
Yeah, well, you know, basically the UN just put out a new report. It went to their Human Rights Council and the General Assembly. And the Human Rights Council, by the way, is like basically the opposite of what a normal person would think of as a Human Rights Council. Right? They have stunning defenders of human rights, like the mass murdering dictatorships in Cuba and Venezuela and China and Saudi Arabia. You know, who else would you want defending your human rights? And so, you know, basically the council exists to legitimize abuses of actual human rights and to wage war on real human rights like we have in America, this concept of God-given rights. And they came out with this new report where they basically argue, you know, to summarize a 32-page document, nationalism and populism, you know, this idea that there are elites who are working against the people or who don't care about the people, this idea that we should have a pride in our own country. You know, nationalism is essentially a synonym for patriotism. Mm-hmm. And yet they say, you know, nationalism and populism are equivalent to racism. And because racism is illegal under UN international human rights law, that means nationalism and populism also need to be illegal, and we need to be waging war on those. And so they specifically cite a whole bunch of examples of who they have in mind. And of course, they have President Trump, they have the Prime Minister of Hungary, you know, the new government in Italy, the new government in Austria, and on and on the list goes.
Are you on the list?
And me personally, no, not yet.
Right? Yeah, work harder. Work harder, Alex.
Do our best to get you on there, brother.
Right. But I mean, it's just incredible how brazen they are now, basically saying that any political opinion that we disagree with is now officially illegal under international law, and all governments must wage war on it. I mean, that's where they are at today. And we need to recognize that, you know, if these people ever get their way, that means the end of freedom.
Well, you know, the word nationalism, some people have led to believe has something to do with being a Nazi. When you were a Nazi, you had to take an oath of obedience to an individual. You didn't take an oath to obedience to an oath to the Constitution of Germany. You had to take an oath to Adolf Hitler. In fact, when he first came into power, shortly after Hindenburg passed away, all the army officers had to take an oath to Hitler, a personal oath. So nationalism is a love of country, and you know, there are some wicked countries out there that you probably shouldn't love, and not because the countries are bad, because they're run by bad governments, but But the United States is a constitutional republic. It's a country that has been the most generous nation. We've had our problems, and we've done our injustices. I'm not denying that. But overall, it's led to the greatest amount of freedoms for the greatest amount of people. I don't see too many people trying to sneak into Haiti or trying to sneak into Cuba illegally or coming to, I want to go to Mexico and sell. They all seem to be coming here.
And I noticed that President Macron, at the 100th anniversary of the armistice, President Macroni and his wife Cheese. Look, her head looks like a hunk of cheese, but I'm sorry, I shouldn't go there. But he's sort of like a little puppet pretty boy. He's like, I don't know, in his 30s, and she's like 20 years older. It's a very strange situation. Anyway, he lectures Trump that patriotism is the opposite of nationalism. They're just trying to really confuse everybody, Alex, but I don't think any country is maybe more confused than France itself. Do you want to describe what's going on in France right now?
Yeah, well, this new president, Macron, is actually extremely unpopular. And so, as much as Americans and the French like to take shots at each other, I lived in France for some time. Actually, I met my wife in France, even though she's not French. And so, I like the French people, and they are not globalists, right? And in fact, Trump pointed this out, that they're, some of the most patriotic people around, and they are, right? They love their country. They love their culture, even though it's obviously inferior to ours. They still have a passion for their culture and their traditions and their wine and their cheeses. And so when they elected these people, Macron didn't run as a, hey, I'm going to sell out your sovereignty even more, and we're going to build an EU empire, is the new term they're using, with an EU military. He ran on a platform of, hey, I'm going to make sure you all have jobs, and I'm going to get rid of that other unpopular guy that you guys hate so much, the socialist François Hollande. And, now Macron's poll numbers are in the toilet, right? They're something like 22%. I mean, the guy is so unpopular. Same thing happened with the previous guy, the socialist Hollande. And so these guys get into office, and they basically become full-blown, outright globalists and socialists, and the people don't like that. And yet, for some reason, they keep electing them over and over again without realizing what's happening. But, the French people are upset. They're very upset. There's been massive demonstrations against this stuff. They voted overwhelmingly against the EU Constitution. They don't like what's happening. Your average French person, maybe some of the, elitists in Paris agree with what's going on. But, your average Frenchman is not fond of what's happening. And, it's ironic that Macron tries to poke fun at Trump. Trump's approval numbers, he tries to make it look like Trump's the unpopular one and nationalism is Nazism. It's just unbelievable. And, for people who don't realize, Macron was literally an employee of the Rothschild banking dynasty. An employee, a high-level employee of the Rothschild. And so that's where he's coming from, right? He's a globalist, he's an elitist, and he's more than willing to sell out his country for this utopian dream of a new world order, as they like to call it. And step one in that is smashing national sovereignty and building regional government. And so that's what Macron is doing in France.
But could, I was there, almost 30 years ago in 1989 on the 200th anniversary of the French Revolution. We won't go into that, but it was very safe to ride the metro at night. Girls could tour Paris in pairs. Like, you could come with your college roommate if you were, a college age from America. Would you recommend that young American women travel even in pairs to Paris these days, or it's just not safe anymore?
Oh, absolutely not. I would say no way. Most of the big cities of Europe now, you think our cities are dangerous. You haven't been to the big cities of Europe lately. It's crazy. And I don't think it hasn't been reported in the media, so people don't really realize what the situation is now. If you go to, London, for example, British people are now a minority in London. They literally have a Muslim mayor, Sadiq Khan. If you go to Frankfurt, Germans are now a minority in Frankfurt. If you go to Malmo in Sweden, Swedes are literally a minority in one of their biggest cities. And this is happening all over Europe. And, a lot of the, not everybody, but a lot of the ones who come in have absolutely no loyalty to the nation. They come from totally alien cultures where, a girl not wearing a headscarf is some kind of whore who's basically asking to be raped. And, that's problematic. It's really problematic. So I would urge any Americans, especially females, to be very, very careful before, heading over to Europe.
Isn't that part of the plan, is to destroy the culture of these, the positive parts of their culture, when they bring in massive amounts of people who have no interest in assimilating?
That's exactly what they're doing. And in fact, I think, I was just in Hungary not too long ago. I had a meeting with the Secretary of State for Public Diplomacy there, and it's on YouTube if people want to go see. And I think their prime minister has said it best. His name is Viktor Orban. And what he said was, we're dealing with a treasonous conspiracy, is the term he used, of internationalist fanatics to undermine the nation state, to undermine Christian civilization, and to undermine national identity. So that's exactly what we're seeing, right?
It's interesting, Alex, on that note, George Soros is from Hungary. He's the leading Rothschilds internationalist in America, behind all the groups like Antifa, Black Lives Matter, you name it, the caravans. I heard he is not even allowed to set foot in his home country of Hungary. They know what he's all about.
Yeah, actually, right when I was there, they had just finished passing what they call the Stop Soros Act, and it's a piece of legislation aimed at reining in. Because, you know, he was unleashing his subversion in Hungary, just like he was doing in America. But in Hungary, the people overwhelmingly said, forget it. You know, we don't want mass migration. We don't want our Christian culture obliterated, and we're not going to have it. And so they literally passed a law called the Stop Soros Act.
We need one of those.
Absolutely.
Can you fax that law to Hal, please?
Well, there is such thing as a bill of attainders under the Constitution. So it would have to, be a little bit, a little more... specific, or anyway, we have 2 minutes left, Alex. So we don't have a whole lot of time, but I wanted to ask you about the situation in Sweden, where you have you've actually resided for, and you own property there as well. So in give us a little overview.
It's bad, and it's getting worse. It's a shame because Sweden was a very wonderful country. Unfortunately, it's not anymore. Really, really sad. And if you want to see what your future looks like, if we don't get involved and stop this, check out what's happening to Sweden, check out what's happening to Europe, and there you have it. So thank you guys so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Have a great Thanksgiving in a foreign land, and we'll, God willing, we'll see you at camp next year. And if you want to learn more about Alex Newman, thenewamerican.com and the Freedom Project as well.
And read Crimes of the Educators.
And, which you can get on Amazon, and I just posted a whole bunch of brand new copies from Camp Constitution's Amazon. We have 1 minute left. I want to thank you again for listening. I want to thank Lori for giving me and Tom
the thanks so much, Lori.
And keep listening to 94.9, Lori on Liberty Show.
Liberty, huzzah!
Islands lay streaming, young rocket treadmill.